Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Truth be told for the saving of souls.
We are just blessed to be together this morning, be able to come together to worship God, to hear the Word, and we're going to hear in just a moment read a foundational passage from Deuteronomy 10:14. But before we do, I'm going to invite you to go ahead and stand up and we will read the vision together. The vision is to build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Reading from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. Lord, we've been talking about lordship, and it's something that comes out of our mouth quite a bit. We call you Lord. But Lord, how often do we misunderstand the depths of that word, what it means for you to be Lord in our lives? God, I pray that you would open up our hearts to understand this, that we would know that if you are Lord, that makes us something as well. That makes us servants. And maybe that isn't the thing that we like to be known by very much, but God, if you are Lord, then we are your servants. And we are not ashamed of that. It's an honor. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to embrace that, to accept that, but never to forget it. Because Lord, even though you may also call us friends or sons and daughters, we remain your servants as well. So help us, Lord, to understand these things. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would come, open up our hearts, do away with anything that would get in the way of this message today. Lord, we want your word to be planted in our hearts, and we want to be like willing people, God, willing vessels that want to be filled with you. So help us be empty of ourselves so that we can be filled with you. All of our ideologies, all of our opinions, all of our frustrations, and all the things that we have going on inside us, just pour out of us, God, that there would be an emptying so that you could fill us. So Holy Spirit, thank you for meeting us where we're at today. Help us to get out of the way, Lord, so you can do what you want to do. Help me to get out of the way so you can do what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm Pastor Ryan, for those of you who don't know, and it's good to just be here in your presence again today, and welcome all of those who are watching over live stream. Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to continue, like I said, talking about lordship, and we just read from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14, and I want to briefly read some of these other passages that I have, just to really solidify our understanding of what we just read right there. So again, Deuteronomy 10:14 is, indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Psalm chapter 50, verses 10 through 12, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. And finally, Psalm chapter 24, verses 1 through 2, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the waters. This is just a small sample of verses that really reflect a theme that you see throughout the entirety of Scripture, and that is this, that God is the Lord. It's central to the biblical truth when we read this, it helps us to understand that God is our creator, God is our provider, God rules and reigns over his creation, and everything belongs to him. Everything. I mean, just like we read in that final verse, the world and those who dwell therein. So not just believers, but even unbelievers, people who've never even heard of God before. Every single person and every single thing in existence belongs to God. This is foundational in our understanding of how to approach him as Lord. Heaven and earth and everything therein belong to him. This is that foundational truth that we need to really deeply consider for what it means for our relationship with him as Lord and us as his servants. The title Lord brings definition to our relationship, what it's supposed to look like. Whether or not we like the fact that Jesus is Lord does not change the fact that he is. But that does not make our admission of the fact or lack thereof unimportant. It's important that we declare that Jesus is Lord. Who you say Jesus is will be the most important decision of your life. It will be. He's Lord regardless of who you say he is to you. But regardless of that, you have to know that this is something you need to personally own. This is something to personally confess. That even though he's Lord, regardless of the circumstances or if you feel that way or not, he is Lord, and it's up to you to confess the truth of that and own him as your Lord. Confessing that he is Lord is the first step in living like he is your Lord. Yet if it only ever remains something you say or merely agree with and is not evidenced in your lifestyle, Jesus himself questions your motivations. We know that he does because in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, he poses the question, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? That's meant to kind of sober us up a little bit. Why do you call me Lord, and not just Lord, but Lord, Lord? Why are you so intent on using this name, emphasizing this name, but are not intent on following through with obedience to him? Well, that really means that we're not treating him like Lord. We're holding things back. There's three things I want us to consider with what we've read so far, okay? This is all, I understand, kind of elementary and like, oh yes, Ryan, I've read a couple verses in the Bible before and see that it calls him Lord. Why are you trying to hammer this home so much? Well, because a lot of us can grasp these principles easily in our minds, but living them out is suddenly a very different story. So this is something that might be easy for us to conceptualize, but very difficult. And I know that it's very difficult for all of us to really submit to him as Lord because our flesh does not want to. We want to be Lord. We want to sit on the throne. We want to make the decisions and have things belong to us and be in command. But the reality is he is Lord. And as soon as we line up with that central truth, that foundational truth throughout the Bible, it puts us in right relationship and understanding of how to even approach him because he is all that he says he is. So these three points to consider. One, as Lord, God owns everything, including us. Two, as Lord, he expects us, his servants, to do what he says. And three, because God is our Lord and owns both us and what we call our possessions, and because we must do what he says, it follows that we must do what he says with our possessions. This is where understanding stewardship begins. As soon as we know that he's Lord and that he's Lord of everything that we are and everything we possess, now the conversation of stewardship can begin, meaning how do I steward, how do I look after the things that God has given me in such a way that honors him and gives him glory? This is something we need to think about with everything that comes into our possession. We are stewards. This is not a word we often use in our modern vernacular, but a steward was somebody who would take the place of a king. Like say the king went away on a long journey, they would place a steward in his place to look after the kingdom while the king was gone. So similarly, the things that we have in our possession are things that have been given to us by God as a stewardship. Because nothing that we own is anything that we can actually take with us when we die. It's all stuff that just, I like to look at it this way. It kind of comes to us and floats around our orbit for a while and then floats away just as fast as it came when we die. You know, it comes, it's in proximity to us, whatever that thing is, money, possessions, you name it. It's there for a little while around us, very loosely around us, and then eventually goes somewhere else. I like to remind people that everything that we own will one day either belong in a dump or to a complete stranger. Everything. There's no exception. Every physical object you possess will one day either belong in a dump or to a complete stranger. There's really no in between here. So why is it we get so uptight about these things when they have no eternal bearing on the hereafter? They have no ability. We can't take them with us. Even if you get buried with something, you know, it's not like we're pharaohs that get to take these things into the afterlife. They didn't either, but that's what they believed, right? I mean, they would even bury pharaohs with pet cats and stuff. The cat wasn't even dead yet. And they're like, no, you got to go with your master. Like, yeah, I'm not. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. Look it up. I think even servants sometimes. Ooh. So anyway, we can't do that. We can't take anything with us. Naked we came into this world, and naked we're going to leave it. No matter how good that suit looks on you when you're passed away, sorry, you can't even take that. We go before the Lord like we came in. So everything that we own really is his, and we're just borrowing it for a while, stewarding it for a while. So, like I said, these are maybe elementary principles or things that we might already know, but to live it out and to truly believe it can look very different in the lives of people who call themselves Christians. Something, a verse I think that really captures the beauty of surrendering everything we have to God is in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. And just to give a little context, we're talking about the prophet Elijah. And in the previous section of this chapter, Elijah had just pronounced that there would be a famine in the land, well, that there wouldn't rain on the earth for 3 years, and a famine would happen as a result. And it's in the midst of this famine that God tells Elijah, hey, I want you to go by this brook, a creek, if you will, a stream, and there you can drink of the water, and I will supernaturally feed you with ravens. I'm paraphrasing here. God literally had Elijah go sit by this river, drink the water, and be fed by ravens, of all things, for a certain period of time. So is God able to do anything? Yeah. Even if it sounds a little like, what? He's able to provide in whatever way he wants to. But this brook eventually dries up, and then he's told by God to go somewhere else. And this is where we pick up the narrative in chapter 17, starting with verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Stop there for a moment. Let's consider the context. Famine has been going on. And this woman is a widow, it says. And widows, as we know, often live below the poverty line, so they didn't have a lot of possessions, maybe not even shoes on her feet. Widows didn't have a lot of people to take care of them. Usually next, you know, closest of kin would try to take care of them, but that wasn't always a guarantee. So she doesn't have a lot, and here comes Elijah saying, hey, doesn't even say hi first, by the way. Oh, like, hi, by the way, I'm the person the Lord spoke to you about, you know, because he did. It said that he commanded someone to provide for him, right? So she's already aware that someone's coming, but he doesn't walk up and say, hey, you know, I'm that person. I'm sorry. Like, I know that it looks like you don't have a lot, but could you please maybe provide? It's not like that. He said, hey, can you give me some water to drink? And then while she's going to get it, it says, he says, oh, and by the way, can you also bring me some like bread to eat? It's like he's treating her like a waitress. You ever done that at a restaurant? You order something like, oh, wait, I need something else. And this is kind of like how she's being treated. And, you know, she's not fighting it, right? It says that she's going to get the water. I want to see what her response is. It says, picking up on verse 12, so she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." They're so deep into the throes of this famine that she's preparing to eat their last meal and then sit down and wait to die of starvation. She probably looked emaciated, you know, like skeletal. Think about that. She probably looked famished. And Elijah comes and says, "Hey, give me something to drink and give me something to eat." And she says that she doesn't have these things, right? Like, "I only got a little bit of flour. I only got a little bit of oil." But then Elijah's response to her, "Do not fear. Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth."
Hallelujah.
Yeah, amen. But would that be hard to trust? You have a son. He doesn't say how old he is, but I imagine my son, for instance, 3. And I imagine him being emaciated, being so skinny and so in need of food that I would want to do anything to make sure he's provided for. And then here comes this prophet who's like, "Hey, actually provide for me first and then you'll be provided for." How many of you would find it hard? Thank you. It would be hard. It would be hard. But she had the word of the Lord, didn't she? It said in the earlier verse, verse 9, "See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." He had already commanded this of her. She already knew it was coming. So here it is. Will she be faithful or will she not be? So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, is what it says. She and her household ate for many days. And the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. There's a lot of things that we should not miss in this passage. First of all, remember this woman is in poverty, but God still asked her to give. God, as Lord, has the right to ask that, even of the poor. Whether we steward many possessions or few, what we have is the Lord's. And if we put it in his hands, he can do miracles with it. I think a trap we fall into sometimes is thinking we get in a poverty mindset and we think, "I don't have enough, so I'm not going to look to give." And what we're actually doing is closing our hands to God and saying, "No, what I have, even if you gave it to me, is mine, 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 and I will bite your hand if you try to take it from me." You ever heard of biting the hand that feeds? Well, that's how we act with God sometimes. And this is, I think, sometimes why people stay in poverty. They live hand to mouth, but are never on the lookout for how they can bless anybody else. So their hands remain closed. And as soon as God wants to give them something, they can't even receive it because their hands are closed. But if you open up your hands and you give freely, your hands are now also in a position to receive, ready for whatever it is that God has for you. And no, please understand, this is not the "in 3 small payments of 1995, God will provide all of your financial needs with the amount of money that you want in the car that you desire. You even get to pick the color." Like, that's not how it works, okay? But God will provide your needs. He wants to provide your needs. But we block him from doing that when we try to say, "No, no, no, it's all mine and you can't have it back." This isn't a stewardship. This is mine now, okay? But truth is, no matter what, it still is. He is still Lord. So as Lord, he can ask anyone to give, even the impoverished. I remember when we went to Guatemala one year, and we were invited into the house of the family that we had a sponsor child in. I mean, it's a dirt floor and, you know, corrugated metal here and there for like walls. There were chickens running around, excuse me. And just, again, it was not what you would consider like a house, right? And I remember when we got there, they broke out, especially for us, crackers and Coca-Cola. Coke is everywhere, I tell you what. I've heard some stories about Coca-Cola, like mission trips, that are just like, wow, it's literally everywhere. Purified water is in Coke, by the way, so if you're ever in a place that you shouldn't drink the water, you can drink the Coke. But they broke that out for us, and we partook of it. You know, part of you wants to be like, oh, no, don't, no, like, we should be giving to you. But that denies them the blessing. Jesus even said, if you give a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, you will by no means lose your reward. Think about that. He wants all of us to be giving people, even those who don't have a lot to give. And so we graciously, yeah, accepted the crackers and the Coke, and it was a blessing to just sit there and laugh together and talk and just be together in that moment. It's a blessing to be a part of those kind of things. But with this widow in this story, she, think about it, she had to give up the right to her own possessions before God was able to meet her need. She needed to give up the right to her possessions before God was able to meet her needs. And the thing is, it would have been a blessing for her to witness this miracle. I mean, think about it. She would have been well aware of what they had and didn't have, okay? She would have been going to the pantry every day and seeing it getting depleted more and more and more, and they're skinnier and skinnier. Things are seeming more hopeless and more hopeless. And then this word of the Lord comes to her to do this, and it's a huge sacrifice, but she does it anyway. Something inside of her is just like, you know what? Why not? Let's give it all away. And she does it, and then it says that they ate for days, and it was not used up. The oil was not used up. The flour was not used up. It was a miracle like the feeding of the 5,000 or again in the feeding of the 4,000. God provided. If you were her, would that have increased your faith to see that? Yeah. There's no shame in saying that. You saw it get depleted down to almost nothing, and then you saw it get supernaturally extended for days till you ate until you were full. That is a miracle. And she got to witness it. She got to be a partaker in it. And by such, her faith would have grown. God is looking for us to be in situations where we are okay with being stretched and uncomfortable to see him provide in ways that you've never even imagined. I remember, I think back to this trip quite frequently because of the mark that it had on me. It was one of the most foundational things I've ever been a part of. We were a part of a missionary organization called YWAM, which is an acronym for Youth with a Mission. And we, during our time there as a mission school, and part of our curriculum was they told us, you guys are gonna go on a mission trip for a week, and you have some parameters to guide this mission trip. And we're like, okay, what's that? So they tell us, you have to pray about where you're gonna go, and it has to be a mission trip that's centered on evangelism. You're gonna go and you're gonna speak the gospel to people. Anywhere you go, look for people to tell the gospel to. So we're like, okay. Oh, and by the way, you get $20 just for the whole group. There was five of us. The whole group gets one $20 bill. 10 of it you have to pray to the Lord to ask him, what do you want us to give half of this to? And the other half you can use for anything you think you need to. And then they gave us all a sack lunch, a full tank of gas in our Honda Accord, 1992, fitting five of us in. Anyway, and they said, you're not allowed to ask for money. You are not allowed to ask for food. You are not allowed to ask for shelter. And anytime you need something like that, you ask God. And don't come back for a week. See you later. Can I just tell you, I was scared out of my mind. Like, they started praying over us before we went on the trip, and they're like reading the verses and the gospels were like, and they went out two by two without staff and without money and without blah, blah, blah. And that is so fun to read when you're sipping on your coffee with a bagel. It's not fun when they're praying over you and about to kick you out the door and say, don't come back, here you go. This is what they did. This is what you're going to do. And we were not comfortable. But it was enough to open my eyes to see that the way that he kept providing a certain amount of funds to just give us the next step in the journey was such an experience to see that. And I don't think that sitting alone in your basement playing video games affords those kind of opportunities, does it? But when you're going out and you're preaching the gospel and you're trying to serve the Lord, even if it's like, I don't know what I'm doing, God, but here we are, you can begin to see him provide in ways that you never thought possible, that you never would have experienced otherwise sitting at base in the basement playing video games, right? Remember, I'm the gamer guy who lived that lifestyle quite a bit. Yeah, you don't see the amazing things that can happen in a relationship with God when you're, let's face it, being self-absorbed. You have to go out and talk to people and try to do the will of God. And even if it looks like a sloppy mess sometimes, be faithful to him. Guess what? He's faithful to you. And he's going to provide and wants to provide, just like the widow in the story of Elijah. She got to be blessed by seeing miraculous provision. She could have said no. Nope. I know I got the word of the Lord on this, but I'm not going to do it. And she would have missed out on seeing God provide miraculously. Look, God is aware of our needs. It says in Psalm 139, before I have a word on my mouth, you know it all together, is what David is praying to the Lord. Before I even have a word on my mouth, you know what I'm going to say, you know what I need, and you are faithful to provide those needs. God wants us to be in situations where we can see him do things through being open with our hands. Because let me tell you what the biggest temptation of that trip was. Every time we get a little bit of money for the next leg, we would hoard it and grab it. Like, we have to be so careful. Oh my gosh, like, what's going to happen? You know, and just like white knuckles, like holding on to it as if God was just going to forget about us. We struggle with that. God gives us something and we want to hide it from him. Like he wasn't the one who gave it in the first place. He wants to provide and he will provide, but we can't do this. We can't just hoard things and try to keep it from God. We have to do this. We have to be open with our hands so that things, yeah, easy come, easy go, but it's better than not receiving anything from the Lord and not being able to give anything because we're living in a poverty mindset that says, no, this is mine and whatever I have in my possession, it's mine. God gave it to me, it's mine. When in reality, every single thing you possess, from a Mercedes to a hair tie, is God's. And if he asks you to give it, can you do it? Can you do what the widow did and Elijah, with Elijah and say, you know what, it's all I have left, but God did tell me, and so I'm going to trust the Lord and give. Because he's not just asking people who are wealthy to give, he's asking all of us to be people who have open hands and open hearts. He wants us to stop holding on so strongly to what we think is ours so that he can use what we are holding for his glory. Will you turn with me to Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44? This is another situation where a widow is showcased as having great faith in God. It says, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sidney, Ohio. Our service time Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.